Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Toontown has closed to be redrawn, Mirabelle has found a new home in Disneyland, Pixie Hollow is inhabited again,
Merlin Shop in Fantasyland has opened, Fantasmic may have a few surprises when it reopens, we talk about Disney and so much more. DL Weekly starts now.
Hello everyone, welcome aboard the DL Weekly podcast. Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding. If this is your first time listening, we hope you'll check out our website at dlweekly.net. If you have more time to spend, becoming an official weekly tier at dlweekly.net/support is an especially good value. Thanks for traveling with us today, and we hope you have a happy and memorable listen to this week's episode.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of March 16th, 2022. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. Well, thank you to Jillian E., Angela D., and Ordrin C. for becoming official weekly tiers on our Patreon. Our supporters all get some pretty fun perks like DL Weekly swag, bonus content, access to our Discord community, and more. If you would like some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to join the community.
So this last week, I had the pleasure of judging a cool bracket of Disney, like, attraction showdown kind of thing going on.
It's like March Madness meets Disney attractions.
For the pre-shows of some favorite Disney attractions on the podcast, The Supreme Resort. If you haven't heard of The Supreme Resort, they are a podcast that basically every week they put Disneyland versus Disney World. They'll pick a land, a restaurant, an attraction, and they'll go into the history and everything, and they have a judge on that basically picks which is the supreme option. So they invited me on this past weekend. We recorded for quite a while, and we brought 16 options in this bracket down to one winner, which you'll have to listen to find out, but it was a fun, fun episode. So highly recommend you guys find that. Just search for The Supreme Resort in your podcast client, and that episode will go up on March 20th. So it's not there yet, but it is a two-parter because they did the first part of this as part one, which is already up and live now. So I do recommend that you listen to that first, and then listen to the episode that I was on, and that sets the bracket up a little bit better for you. So hopefully you guys go listen to that and let me know.
Well, in episode 222, we were very excited to speak with Debbie and Steve from Designer Park Company about their brand new rope drop bag that is launching soon. They're producing as we speak. If you have been wanting to get one of these park goer bags for yourself, you can now use our promo code DLWEEKLY to get 10% off at designerparkco.com. I'm crazy excited about this bag. I told Teg that, like, I think it's gonna, I haven't even had it in my hands yet, but I'm so excited. I'm just really excited to test it out in the parks. If you haven't listened to that episode again, that was episode 221 and 222 that they were on. But 222 is when we really focused about the kind of where they came up with this concept for the bag, why they did this, and how they did this. Very, very fun. Super great Disney-loving, Disneyland-loving people. And they're also weekly tiers. So anyways, go check them out. Again, it's designerparkco.com and use promo code DLWEEKLY to get 10% off.
Now let's get to the news. Last week was the last week for Toontown as we knew it. The entire land has now closed and will reopen sometime next spring with a complete renovation. The week leading up to the closure saw a lot of guests getting in their last visit before it turns into something quite new and refreshed. This is the first time that we are aware of that an entire land has been closed for remodel as extensive as this since the new Fantasyland in the early 80s.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because seeing everyone's like posts and videos about Toontown that seemed like there's a lot of very emotional people sad to see Toontown closing for the time being, but again, excited to see what it has in store. I, for one, am looking forward to this refresh. I think it's going to be a huge blessing. I really do. Mm-hmm. I think the green space sounds wonderful. The tree. I cannot wait to see the tree.
Oh, yeah.
I know you're sad that the Jolly Trolley is...
I am sad about the Jolly Trolley, but I think I am fine sacrificing the possibility of the Jolly Trolley coming back to get a Toontown that I actually want to go spend time in. Because I haven't wanted to spend time in Toontown
Toontown
recently.
It's adorable. Don't get me wrong. It is. And I think it's really fun for kids. It's just, it's hard because it's very hot back there. There's not very much shade, I don't think. I never felt like there was enough shade. So it'll be nice to see a refresh.
Definitely.
Plus, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway will be coming about that time too, so that's super exciting.
I want to say how proud of I am of us, because I remember when they first announced the name of that attraction and we were always tongue-tied, and now it's not even a big thing. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. But in the beginning I was like
exactly tongue-tied for sure. Well, Encanto fans can now meet Mirabelle in a new location at the resort. Mirabelle's meet and greet has moved from the Paradise Garden area of Disney California Adventure, where she was located during the Festival of Holidays, to Zocalo Park in Frontierland. The lines to meet her have been long, so be prepared to wait a bit if you want to get a picture with her. That's because she's so awesome. No wonder.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always happy when things come to Disneyland as opposed to DCA, but that's just my personal choice. I know that others are happy the other way.
I think that area makes sense because there's not much going on. But then I was also like, where else I would have put Mirabelle. I don't think Frontierland would have been my first choice for her, though.
Well, did you think that DCA was a good choice for her?
I mean, DC, theming-wise, right? Sure. Theming-wise, I think it's an interesting choice to have her in Frontierland. DCA feels, you know, the Paradise Garden area kind of feels like more of a clean slate because you don't have heavy, you know,
theming
like Western or whatever. It's more, you know, it's more kind of neutral as far as that goes. If you were to put Mirabelle somewhere, where would you have placed her meet and greet?
Frontierland, for sure. You think? Okay. Yeah, I think that that's a great spot for her.
Because I would have said, like, Fantasyland, because, right, the magical, you know, the magical home and all that. Mm-hmm. But she's not, that's kind of where all the princesses and princes are.
I know it's different, so don't write any angry emails, but I think culturally, outside of the Rancho Zocalo restaurant, seems like it kind of fits more culturally because she's Colombian, right? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of, you know, that Central American kind of southern, you know. So I feel like that kind of fits there because to me, the rest of Frontierland feels very Old West. But that kind of area always kind of felt, you know, Hispanic or kind of like Mexican, maybe. So I feel
like
it fits better for me there than probably anywhere else in the park, if you think about culturally, I guess.
Well, and I don't know where else I would have put her, you know, where else would have made sense in Disneyland, because she's just so fun and so unique and she's got such a cool storyline. But I do like that they're using that space for meet and greets and that she does have a dedicated meet and greet space again. I think that it's kind of like a stage that's back there. I think it's a nice kind of backdrop for her.
You know, we keep talking about how Coco should have a show because of all the music being so
100%.
Popular. I think Encanto needs to have, they need to put like a temporary show somewhere in the resort with Encanto music. It'd be super popular.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Such a good movie.
Well, I happen to see that this particular weekly tier is listening live right now, so you'll know who you are when I say this. One of our weekly tiers will be very excited at this next piece of news. Tinkerbell has returned to Pixie Hollow, the area between Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters and the Hub. Tinkerbell has not been in her hollow since sometime in 2020 before the closure of the parks. This is a welcome addition to the meet and greet lineup and is sure to be popular.
You know, this is very exciting because this feels like a step back to pre-pandemic, pre-COVID times, because this is where you would meet Tinkerbell, was of course in Pixie Hollow. She has been out for meet and greets. Don't get us wrong. She has been out in the parks, but this is the first time that she's been inside of Pixie Hollow. Prior, she was kind of just outside of Pixie Hollow, and you saw her from quite a distance. So I think it's fun. Pixie Hollow is such a cute little area. If you've never taken the time to go back there, I highly encourage you to do so. The theming is just super cool. They slowly, while you're walking and waiting in the kind of like the queue area to get back inside of it, you notice your surroundings, of course, wonderful Imagineers and their super creativeness, did a slow force perspective thing. So as you get closer to the Pixie Hollow, everything gets like bigger and bigger and bigger as you get closer. It's like you're shrinking down to the size of a pixie. And so when you're inside of Pixie Hollow, you're around like giant grass and giant flowers. So it's like you've shrunk down. So it's really, really fun, really cute. It's just, and it's always really quiet. Like if Tinkerbell's not back there and she doesn't have all of her admirers waiting to go say hi, it's a really quiet, fun corner of the park because not a lot of people really know that it's there.
I know that it was the first like really well themed meet and greet area. Mm-hmm. Other than, I mean, maybe Pooh Corner was kind of themed, but I wouldn't necessarily consider that like super well themed. But afterwards, we got the Princess Fantasy Fair, which was really immersive. So I love that they did something in this area, and I'm glad to see that it's back open because it is a good chunk, a little chunk of space, which nothing else really can go on there. But it was nice to see that this area is up again.
Captain Marvel must be on a mission elsewhere as the jet for her meet and greet has been removed from the Hollywood Pictures backlot. This area is now behind construction walls. Who knows what this location may become in the future?
So I'm not that surprised. It seems like this has been kind of left abandoned since Avengers Campus opened. So hopefully, maybe in the future, it'll be something else.
And it was a character meet and greet.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was kind of a little different, too. I just need to share this. Let me find it quick. There is someone that we follow on Instagram. His handle is at Ferris Bow. And he actually, this is super cool. He makes metal, like little metal Disney trinkets that he then goes and hides in the parks. But he had shared, he had hid something on the jet,
Okay.
And somebody had messaged him because when they moved the jet, a cast member found the thing that he had hid. He had hid this like cool Avengers coin, and he got a message from a cast member that said, "This came tumbling out of the landing gear hatch as we folded up the landing gear on Captain Marvel's jet before we loaded it onto a truck last night." I thought that was just so fun. But anyways, if you haven't followed him, super fun. He does these really cool, he casts them in metal. And this one, like I said, this was an Avengers coin. I've seen that he's does like Disneyland D's. There's like little busts of Walt.
Oh, cool.
That he'll hide to. Very cool, very creative. And of course, he's spreading all that Disney magic.
So I have a question about this. I know this is totally not related to the Captain Marvel jet leaving, but I'm curious because we've hidden stuff around the parks. Mm-hmm. It seems like this is a common thing that people like to do. Do you think cast members, especially like custodial cast members, are like, can these people stop leaving this stuff all around the park?
I don't know if it's one of those things that if people, you know, at some point, if nobody finds the thing you hid, then it's kind of like you littered, right? So it's, as long as people are finding it and the cast members aren't having to, you know, kind of pick up after you, I'm sure it's okay. But I think about that too. I always think like, oh, we got to find a good spot. I'm like, well, I don't want it to be too good so that nobody finds it. And then it becomes, you know, it gets swept up or gets cleaned up because the custodial cast members are
pretty good at seeing
super
things.
Good at like finding things like that. So yeah, I think it's kind of borderline probably.
Sure. Well, the new shop in Fantasyland that took over the old heraldry shop has reopened. Merlin's Marvelous Miscellany opened this past week. Most of the merchandise in this location is available elsewhere around the resort, except that some Peter Pan items that are usually just sold in the UK Pavilion in Epcot. The details around this cozy shop are the real star here and are a must stop for any Sword in the Stone fans.
I am very excited to see this shop. I am a little disappointed that it's not more like Sword in the Stone specific, and that the merchandise in it is just kind of, you know, like you said, generic and stuff that you can find elsewhere. I was hoping for a more, I don't know, a more unique shop.
Sure.
The theming, though, looks wonderful. I'm very excited to go in there and take a peek at all the different details that they have. I am a big Sword in the Stone fan, and really it's Merlin and Archimedes the Owl that are my favorite. Madam Mim. I don't know how I forgot about her. She's such a fun villain. But just seeing the photos that MiceChat posted this week of some of the details, there's little hints to the movie that are kind of in there throughout. So I think the Imagineers did a nice job to give little Easter eggs and little nods. So I'm very excited to see it in person.
Me too.
The only thing I was really hoping when they did this, I was hoping for an animatronic Archimedes to be like perched somewhere.
That would be cool.
That would have been amazing.
I will say that this shop has a couple items in it in the pictures that MiceChat has posted that I'm like, okay, these are the things that I want. So I was telling producer James this. So it's got the album
that
I really want to buy.
We're really excited
that
about.
Will be ours because you are also getting one. Mm-hmm. And then the hoodie, I've got to feel it though. I feel like this is going to be one of those thin hoodies.
Yeah, it looks thin.
Which makes me sad because I want a good thick hoodie again.
We're used to very thick hoodies here in the Midwest.
Yeah. It's getting warmer here, though. Today was in the 50s, so that was great.
Disneyland continues to work on infrastructure for the nighttime entertainment in both parks. This week, a new canopy was installed over the top of the pits to the Fantasmic Fountains. What could this mean? Well, MiceChat suggests that it could be new show elements being worked on, or an install that would be something being installed that's going to be part of the returning show. I thought that was interesting. I'm going to be real honest. When I saw that, I'm like, oh, maybe that's just to keep, like, for shade.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were trying to be sneaky and hiding stuff. But
it's hard to know.
I mean, that's a good point. We've never seen canopies or covers over it, so maybe that could be something. Or maybe it's just as simple as giving the workers some shade.
Yeah, I feel it could be either, right? Because one thing that I'm sure Disney knows, because I'm sure that there are people that work in the administrative offices of Disney who go and look at all these MiceChat, Mouse Planet, like, you know, AllEars.net, all of these places, and they look and see what people are talking about. So my guess is if they want to try to surprise people, this is kind of what they have to do.
Oh, yeah.
However, this could also just be crazy internet speculation like normal. So while I do think it'd be really cool if something new came to Fantasmic, because there's been rumors that they've changed a couple things. We haven't reported on it because there hasn't been any like strong evidence of this. But I've seen rumors around that things like the pirate scene might be changed to not be Pirates of the Caribbean when it comes back potentially. I don't know. I just saw rumors. Right. Well, but if they add some cool, I mean, technology's come a long way. If they add some cool technology for Fantasmic.
And I mean, that's a good point. I guess I never thought of or considered that. But why? I mean, why not? They could rewrite the, I mean, they're not going to, but they could rewrite the entire show if they
it's
wanted
true.
To, because they're starting over. Of course, they're going to keep, you know, the main thing. But what's to say we don't see some little changes? That's very true.
You know what I hope they do? And I'd be so excited. I wish they would have done, like, I wish science. Okay, so one of our exchange students had a video from their science class, and their chemistry teacher was showing that they can make fire burn in all these different colors.
Oh.
And I was like, it would be so cool if Disney could make the fire on the river burn green for Maleficent, because that would be, if they could figure it out, that would be such a cool update that I think people would go crazy about. Maybe. I'm very sad that we're coming too early to watch Fantasmic.
Know.
But
just
I am so excited
when it comes
back. Just gives
us an excuse to go back out again.
Yeah. That's always the thing, right?
Always an excuse. There's always an excuse to go.
Well, with the changes coming to New Orleans Square soon, which we talked about before, about lowering the viewing areas and stuff like that. Some other things are also disappearing. The two ficus trees in the courtyard of Pirates of the Caribbean are being taken out due to disease. Hopefully, new trees and their much-needed shade are put back in some capacity for the queue.
I told Tag, I was like, I'm just so sad about these. Those trees are so cool. I'm talking as past tense as if they're already taken out. The trees have not come out yet, but I'm just really sad about those trees. So the tree that they're talking about are the ones that are like right inside the courtyard. So within the queue, the queue kind of goes around around it. Those trees are so beautiful. They have so much character and they're so unique. So I'm quite sad about these trees. It's like me and my planters that I was very, very worried about a couple of years ago with Project Stardust, and that we thought that there was speculation that they were going to take the planters like totally out. But I just, things like that just give so much character to the area and just make it so unique and so cool. I mean, really, again, it's just a tree. I shouldn't be this like upset about it, but Even a replacement tree. I know it's Disney. I know they're going to replace it. I can't imagine that they don't put a tree there because shade and because they already have like the space to just swap one out, so it wouldn't be that difficult. But those trees were just so cool and unique. So I hope that we get, when they put a new tree in, I hope that it's like has the same character that those trees had.
So I have a question for you. With the queue of pirates, how would you
redo it?
Reroute the queue? That's such a tough area.
Well, and that's the other thing that they're talking about too, is that they're going to use this extended closure of the ride to try and redo the queuing. I really don't know.
You know what they could do? And I know you hate this because we've talked about it before. They should add a free genie option just for pirates, that there is no standby, that you literally like check in and like it'll call you when it's time for you to come back. And then you just have like no standby line.
Yeah, they could.
That's a people eating attraction. So I don't know why they can't fill that line and just push it through, because it hasn't always been this bad. So why is it suddenly this bad?
I don't know. It's just interesting to me because you've got the two sides. There's not genie on this.
Yeah.
And I believe if you are using like a wheelchair or if you have the disability access pass, I believe you enter through the exit. Last time we were there, I was assuming they only had one side going because of that to have that line open so people could still get up there. But yeah, no, because when you get off, if people have wheelchairs and the electronic convenience vehicles, they're at the exit side. So you enter through the exit. So I'm not sure why they don't have both sides running.
It's a good question.
That would eat up a ton of that would help with the overflow of the line for sure.
Well, and there's that whole section that goes back between Indy and stuff too.
That's part of if you're on the left side of that split, but for some reason they've only had the right side open.
Somebody made a comment, and I like this place to eat, so I'm not a fan of this, but they're like, you know, if they just close the Rose Street veranda, they could just put some queue over there.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I mean, that's true, but that's sad. We don't want to lose a dining location.
You know, while we're at it, why don't we just close the Dream Suite thing that's up there and route the line up the stairs and throughout the apartment. Anyway,
if anybody knows, now I'm curious about why the queue of pirates only seems to be down to one side. If anybody knows the reasoning for that, please drop us a line and let us know, because I'm curious. Because like I said, I assumed it was for like people with electronic convenience vehicles or wheelchairs or the disability pass, but I'm pretty certain they go through that. They have to go through the exit. So I'm curious if someone knows the reasoning.
I don't think we have any weekly tiers that are in the chat that are pirates cast members. I know we have other cast members, but not pirates.
Unless, I mean, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. We are already halfway through March, which means that St. Patrick's Day is almost here. To celebrate, the Red Rose Tavern in Disneyland is offering the Green Stuff, which is a mint white chocolate mousse, chocolate cake, and mint chocolate chips and chocolate cookie crumbs on a shortbread cookie. Corn Dog Castle in Disney California Adventure will offer their dogs coated in a green corn dog batter on March 17th only. Also only available for March 17th is the strawberry elderflower whiskey at the Hollywood Lounge. Some other options around the resort are a leprechaun cupcake at the Grand Californian Hotel Craftsman Grill and a St. Patrick's Day whoopie pie also at the holiday cart at the Grand Californian Hotel. For the full list, visit the link in our show notes. I do want to note the Green Stuff is actually staying around, I want to say, till the end of the month. It was more than just a one-day thing. It sounds really yummy. Really, really yummy.
I would definitely be interested in trying this. Now, the link in our show notes has a bunch of Disney World stuff first, so don't think it's the wrong link. Scroll, scroll, scroll. But yeah, the first thing you'll see is the green stuff, and then there's the green corn dog under that. At first, when I saw this, I saw this on my phone in our Discord, actually. Somebody at one of the other accounts we follow put a picture of this, and I didn't see that it was just a plain hot dog in the middle. I thought this was another one of those weird, remember they had like a pickle one or something?
Yeah, the pickle, so the I was pickle like, corn dog.
What have they come up with this time?
Just some food coloring, that's all.
Yeah, that doesn't look too bad to me. This Hollywood Lounge elderberry whiskey looks pretty, but
it sounds good. It's a strawberry lemonade mixed with ginger syrup, elderflower, and whiskey.
Yeah, it looks
pretty. They had me until whiskey is not my thing personally. They had everything else sounds delicious though.
And then they of course have some just good looking stuff made up to look like that. There's a churro.
That's located. You can get that in downtown Disney.
Oh, the pot of gold churro. A churro rolled in key lime pie sugar drizzled with white chocolate sauce over the top, dusted with gold and green sprinkles, and served with a side of whipped cream.
I love that. Churro with whipped cream. Why not?
All of Ooh. These things look like they'd be good.
Ralph Brennan's has a drink called the Emerald Breeze. It's vodka, peach schnapps, blue curacao, pineapple juice, and orange juice. Yum!
Well, March is Women's History Month, and the Disneyland Resort is celebrating in a number of ways. Minnie Mouse is the star of the celebration with the floral Minnie design that is currently taking the place of the standard floral Mickey in front of the train station. Downtown Disney is welcoming back Marcella Sweat, who was the artist behind the Black History Month chalk drawings, to create drawings for Women's History Month. Her creations will be on display from March 15th through the 31st. Sprinkles in Downtown Disney will introduce their first female chef series, starting with a dark chocolate passion fruit by Chef Brooke Williamson. To see all the things happening, check out the link in our show notes. There is a ton of stuff on this list.
It's so cool because, you know, I love that we celebrate all of the things. And I like that Disney's really celebrating more things too, you know, because I don't remember seeing a ton of, like, the fact that we have mini at the front gate, we talked about this already, but the fact that we have Minnie at the front, that's a pretty big deal, you know, to have Mickey not be there and to have Minnie be the one that's greeting us. So I just love that they're adding all of this extra stuff to help celebrate these all sorts of wonderful things. This month, of course, being Women's History Month. There's also a ton of entertainment that's going to be going on in Downtown Disney, too. If live entertainment is your thing, there are 10 different women-led bands and DJs that are performing at the Downtown Disney Live stage. So go check them out if you're there. Of course, the cool thing about that is those events are free.
Yeah. Yeah, so anybody could just go and have like a nice evening at Downtown Disney. I'm excited because I'm hoping that one of the days that we are there for your wedding is because Marcella Sweet is going to be there the whole rest of the month. I'm hoping that she might be there one of the days we're there to see her work her magic because her drawings are amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she did it. Who did the one that's there now from Encanto?
That was, it was a guy. I don't remember what his name was. It was not her that did that because I don't know his name. I apologize. But he does forced perspective shots. Mm. So he did the Encanto one. But then there's also one that he did for Food and Wine Festival that is actually in the spot where Mirabelle's meet and greet had been. Okay. So it looks like you're standing on, I think they call that one a chef's kiss. So it looks like you're standing on like the tray and it looks like the chef is like lifting off the like the metal top thing. I don't know what
that keeps
called.
The food warm.
Yep. And then there's a third one that I don't think a lot of people know about. It's actually over at the Disneyland Hotel and it's Beauty and the Beast themed. And when you're standing on the top, it looks like you're in the middle of Be Our Guest and you're standing on the like top of stuff. So you've got, of course, some familiar faces. You've got Cogsworth. I believe Cogsworth is there for sure. Lumiere is part of that one, too. That's one cool. Looks super fun.
Because the one I saw was the sister from Encanto.
Yeah.
And she's Louisa. Like holding you up.
Yep. Yeah. Louisa's holding you up like on a rock.
Pretty cool.
Super fun. But yeah, that was a different artist. The mural on the side of the former ESPN Zone has been updated once again. This time it's for the Food and Wine Festival. The mural features Goofy, Chip and Dale, and other Disney California Adventure scenes, all made out of food. It's a cute mural and worth checking out if you're in the area.
Yeah, so this I thought was neat because, you know, this is one of those things that they update like all the time, it seems like now. This section gets changed with different murals. So I think it's cool. And honestly, I thought for some reason, I had to look through our archives because I was surprised we had not talked about this because I assume that it's been there since the beginning of the Food and Wine Festival, but we just never talked about it.
The Food and Wine Festival like just started, so it may have just been installed right after our last episode or something. I don't know.
I still have to make a list. I don't know how.
Very true.
Did you make your list?
Not yet.
Been too busy.
I mean, really, I need to make a no thank you list. It's going to be a much shorter list to say, these are the things that I do not want to try from the Food and Wine Festival. Mm-hmm.
So you just go up to the first booth and you go, anything that's not on this list, put on my receipt.
Yeah. Yeah. Put everything but this on my list.
Psst. Avast there. Sure, you come to the proper place, but keep a weather eye open, mates, and hold on tight. With both hands, if you please. There be squalls ahead, and James and Vern waiting for them what don't answer correctly.
Welcome to Trivia Land, where we're going to have four questions for you tonight and one bonus question. How are you feeling? You think you got some great answers?
I certainly hope so.
I hope so. I feel like the last 2 weeks of trivia were pretty tough. We'll see how we do.
I'm feeling confident for you.
I think okay.
I think the listeners and the submitters of questions were nice to you this time.
Well, thank you.
Or nicer than they've been, at least.
I mean, that's not hard to do.
So your first question for tonight, submitted by producer James.
Ooh.
What attraction is described in the Disney Parks app as join a rescue mission to a high up fortress?
Join a rescue mission to a high up fortress.
Is that Mission Breakout? Because you're rescuing the
That would make
Guardians
sense with
high.
I was the first thing I was thinking for like rescuing was Rise of the Resistance, but you're being rescued. You're not rescuing somebody else.
That's true.
Mission Breakout makes a lot of sense.
But I'm thinking, like, is there something else that's tall?
No.
Okay.
You're going with Mission Breakout?
Dude? Sure.
And just for clarification, that's Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay, final answer.
Final.
All right. Your second question from listener Chris Y. What instruments do the pirates play in the town pillaging scene?
Oh.
There's like a guitar.
There's a flute.
Flute, yep. A guitar. Is it a guitar?
Well,
it's got like a rounded
specifically of the town pillaging scene.
Yeah, because they're hanging out with the
There
goat.
Are multiple scenes where there are pirates playing.
Are you talking about the one where they're dunking the guy in the water?
No.
Are you talking about the end where they're playing next to the donkey that's coming out of the door next to them?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So that.
So it's a guitar because it's got like a guitar thing. It's also a flute. Maybe not because.
I don't think it's a flute because there's an animatronic there's a couple animatronics that you see multiple times, but they're different, quote unquote, different pirates in there. The guy that plays the flute in the first scene with the dunking the guy in the well, he's also at the scene with the donkey, but he's just got his like hand on his stomach and he's
because that's the one that his hand's been looking
his
funny
hand's
the last
been looking
times.
A little funny. Yes, so he's just singing.
Okay,
you got the guy next to him that's got like a guitar.
Yep.
I'm trying to think what the third guy has. There's a donkey and a dog.
This one's.
This is my problem. I keep looking. I focus on the guy singing because his hand has been like weirding me out.
And I focus on the donkey because the donkey's always moving his head back and forth. I have another thing, but I feel bad because I looked in the chat.
Yep, we're going to use a lifeline and call on a weekly tier who's in our live stream chat right now. We're going to go with Mark S's guess of accordion because I think that's right.
Yeah, accordion.
Okay, so your final answer is?
Guitar and accordion.
And that's all?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm not very confident anymore. I was feeling good.
And for your third question, another one submitted by producer James.
Ooh.
He's busy tonight.
This week has included Pi Day 314. If I was in the park this week, where could I find a pie?
Oh, where do they serve pie?
If you were in the park, like, can you always get a pie, or is it just this week?
According to a possibly less than thorough search of the Disney Parks app, you can always get pie.
You can always get pie.
Jolly Holiday?
That was my gut, but I don't really know if there's pie there or not.
Is there pie? There's not pie. It's funnel cakes at the Hungry Bear, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of their thing. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think where else there might be.
Flo's? Can you get pie at Flo's?
Oh, that'd be a good guess. I don't eat at Flo's that much, like enough to know their
menu. I don't either.
Have we ever eaten at
There's
Flo's?
There's hand pies that you can get at Jolly Holiday. Does that count?
No.
They sometimes have like seasonal hand pies.
We mean like actual like a pumpkin pie or an apple pie or cherry pie, that kind of pie.
Yes, like a pie.
Okay. So not a hand pie.
No. And not a Mrs. Lovett's
French
meat pie.
Market?
I don't know. I feel like in my brain I could put a pie in any of those places. I'm just going to go with the Jolly Holiday because that sounds.
I'm going to go with Jolly Holiday.
That
and is
sounds
it
right to me.
Disneyland or is it anywhere?
Is it Disneyland?
Just
old?
Disneyland.
Okay.
Oh, just Disneyland. Okay, we're taking Flo's out of the equation then.
Okay. Because I know Plaza Inn doesn't have it because they all just cake. Have cake.
They always have cake, yep. Carnation Cafe.
Mm.
I'm going to go with Carnation.
Okay. I wonder if Kate knows the answer.
Teresa, is that your final answer?
Yeah, that's my final answer. Otherwise,
and
I was thinking
Tag, do you have an answer?
Yeah, I said Jolly Holiday.
Mm-hmm. Jolly Holiday from Tag.
Yeah.
Okay. And your fourth regular round question from Audrin C. Place these five classic Disney treats in order from most expensive to least expensive.
Oh, boy.
Oh God, this reminds me of The Price is Right.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be hard.
All right, you ready?
Okay, write these down so we can have them. Okay.
In order from most expensive to least expensive.
Okay.
Corn dog.
Okay.
Mickey-shaped ice cream bar.
Okay.
Dole whip. Turkey leg. And a churro, specifically plain.
Okay, so I think the turkey leg's the most expensive.
I think so, too. Yeah, I'm thinking
turkey leg is the most expensive. Now, Mickey-shaped ice cream bar, didn't they just raise that? Isn't that like five-something or six-something?
I'm going to say the
corn dog
is
the second
next.
Most expensive, yep.
I'm going to put the Mickey premium bar.
Okay. Dole whip,
and
churro.
And Dole whip and then churro.
Yeah. So from most... Wait, you're saying which direction?
From most expensive to least expensive.
Okay.
We're going to go with turkey leg, then corn dog, Mickey bar, Dole whip, and churro as the least expensive.
Hmm.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Final answer.
I don't know. It seems like the people in our chat who are listening to the live stream think that the order seems pretty good, except for we've got the Dole Whip and the Mickey bar swapped.
I don't know, because the Mickey premium bars are hard, because I feel like they aren't a good value and they seem higher priced than they should
be.
But is the that only, more than a...
The only time I've ever had a Mickey premium bar was for some reason they were handing them out for free in Disney World because like an attraction had broke down or something. All right. I think that's our final answer.
We're just
going to
leave
it. Yeah.
Okay. And your bonus question, also from Audrin C, based on the previous question, within $1, what is the combined total price pre-tax of all five classic snacks if you bought them today?
Okay, well, let's write them down. So
I think a turkey leg is, I'm going to rind, I think it's like 9.
I thought it was like 14. No, a turkey leg's expensive.
Is it? I don't know.
It was like $12 or $14.
Okay, let's go with 12.
Okay, and then...
Corn dog, I want to say, is like...
8?
8. Mickey bar, I thought was like 6-something.
Okay, you write down your thoughts, because I have different thoughts now. Like, price. Okay, so I think the turkey leg was like 15. The corn dog, I want to say, was like 9. The Mickey bar was 7. The Dole Whip was, let's say, 5.50. The churro was 5. So, oh gosh, I have to do math. 41.50. So, I'm saying 41.50. Pre-tax.
I'm going to say 36.
I don't know if you care, Vern, but Mark S. in the chat is saying 39.
Okay.
Ruben is saying 43. And Kat is saying $40.50.
40.50. Okay. And within $1, Audrin did not give a lot of wiggle room.
No.
There. Well, we've got answers submitted. Listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? I guess we're just going to have to wait until after the discussion, and we'll all find out together.
This week for our discussion topic, we are going to talk some Disney stuff with producer James. And he wants this in like a talk show format. And when I asked him to name this segment, he said, I feel like all of the talk show names have just one name, like a first name. So this is the James segment.
I feel like we need theme music too.
I'm just imagining like a terrible dub over of the New Girl theme going, who's that guy? It's producer James.
It's Producer James.
It's got to fit in the dub section, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
James has been watching, like, English dubbed anime recently, so I feel like he's in this whole dubbed kind of thing.
There you go.
Just got a knack for it. What can I say?
All right, so what even is this, James?
I had a goal at the beginning. I was like, oh, you know what? Trip's coming up soon. We're going with our exchange students. We're going for the first time. Maybe I'll ask good questions there. And then I just started writing a bunch of questions, and they don't really make sense together. So we're just asking random questions as we banter our way through whatever comes our way.
All right.
Randomness. Not like we have seen that ever on our podcast
James
before.
James is random. Corner.
I'm just buying into this podcast of random rambling.
See, I think the other thing, too, is on my other Disney podcast, The Hub Crawl, which will be coming out this Friday, for those interested, episode 2, is James gotten the idea of, like, coming up with all these different questions, so I think that's where he got this, like, thought process from.
It was just a great idea when you were desperate for some perfect fill-in that you knew to turn to me.
You came volunteering, thank you.
I know.
Anyway.
Stop trying to steal James's thunder.
Someone has stolen his thunder. Anyway.
All right. So you're starting your day. You're getting ready to go to the park. I'm dying to know, what's in your bag that you're bringing into the park?
Oh, boy.
What are your necessities that you have? Or what are you making your significant others carry for you?
So in my park bag, I make sure, of course, to have my phone and a power charging device. Usually I bring my fuel rod so I can just swap it out throughout the day if needed. Of course, basic things like wallet, cards. I'm a nerd. I still carry my Disneyland pass, like annual pass holder card, even though it means
when it was
nothing.
An actual annual pass.
Yep, when it was an annual pass. I bring pins for pin trading. I bring fun things to hand out to weekly tiers that we meet. More fun things to hide for weekly tiers, doing like the scavenger hunts and such. I also make sure that I have sunscreen and like kind of like a little first aid kit with like aspirin and like Tums. Those are just things. Hand sanitizer, extra masks now too. And a big water bottle. I don't take too many things with me, but that's really the
extent. You're starting to sound like Mary Poppins, let's be honest here.
They're all little, though.
Yeah, they all fit in the small little bag that she has. Mm-hmm. So I take, of course, my phone, my wallet. I, out of habit, always bring my AirPods with me everywhere I go. Although maybe not at Disneyland because of security and just having to take another thing out of my pocket. I also bring my Indiana Jones fanny pack that has become like a famous thing now, apparently. And inside there, I bring my big charging brick. And I think that's about it. And sometimes if I'm there with
you,
Teresa,
you have an entire
we'll carry
backpack. What do you put in your backpack?
Well, when I bring the backpack, usually like I'll put my hoodie in there, mm-hmm. or I'll put like our buttons and stuff to hand out to weekly tiers and that kind of stuff. But I'm just thinking like in general what I would normally bring.
I was going to say, you always have a backpack. Why are you carrying the backpack? There's nothing in it.
Well, and I also carry the podcast gear when we've done stuff like that. That's mm-hmm. usually when I bring the backpack recently. But I will say, like, when we went to Disney World, one thing I like to do is I freeze bottles of water and carry mm-hmm. those in the backpack. So as they thaw throughout the day, you can drink, especially if it's going to be hot out. I also just like having a backpack because then at the end of the night, I can shove all my stuff in it and not have to carry it back to the hotel. So I guess that's it. Is there anything, James? You know what I sort of bring.
Did you say a water bottle?
I think I said water bottle. Okay. If I didn't, I meant to say my Contigo water bottle that has our DL Weekly sticker on it, which you can get at store.dlweekly.net if you want one of your own.
I think you got the bulk of it. I think you probably forgot about the water in your backpack because when we go together, I'm the one carrying the backpack with all the water bottles in it.
Oh, sure.
And I would guess Producer Vern would probably say that he's carrying some of the stuff that Teresa mentioned as well when he's there.
Well, Producer Vern brings cool stuff like protein bars and snacks and stuff, which is really great when the line takes longer than you expect it to and we're like eating next.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's just
are always good.
Quietly prepared for anything, really.
Between Teresa and Vern, like, I would feel pretty confident going into some type of crazy emergency situation with them because they'd be fully prepared.
Oh, the other thing, random thing that I have is I have a tiny Tide to Go pen, which has come in handy for people that have like spilled on, you know, like spilled, I don't know, lunch or a drink or something on them. So
one of those gooey churros.
Yep, get the stain out before they have to walk around with this big old blotch on their shirt.
Sounds like the perfect excuse for someone to just have to buy a new shirt or a hoodie at the park.
I mean, there's that too. You could go that route.
The Tide pen is probably cheaper though.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've made it into the park, and you're not turning left to go first, but instead you're just amazed because the perfect Main Street vehicle is right in front of you. But which one is it for you?
The Omnibus.
Wow, that was quick.
The Omnibus. I love being on the second deck and going down Main Street and being able to see stuff from an elevated angle that you don't see. There's no other way to see that
on Main Street. That is very true.
Because if you're walking, you're almost at the height you are sitting in one of the like regular levels. I will say a second place to the horse-drawn carriage.
Ooh, that's a good one, too. I like the fire truck and also the horse-drawn
carriage. What's the cast member's name that does the fire truck?
I don't remember what his name is. Yeah, he's very nice. There is a cast member that has been driving the fire truck for years and years and years and years. I feel like every time we go to Disneyland, we see him. He's kind of like... Anyways, he's just super, super, super sweet. Yes, his name is Steve. Very, very nice. He's driven the fire truck for, I don't remember how, like, it's years.
Since 1984.
Since 1984, he's been driving the fire truck. So he just feels like just a part of Disneyland. So very, very nice. We got to take a ride with him when we were there in December. Super, super, super nice guy. I feel like he's, like, part of Disney history at this point because he's just such a familiar face. But yeah, I do also enjoy the horse-drawn carriage too. And wow, I kind of totally forgot something very important. Ears. I bring ears with me to the park.
But see, he was saying in your bag.
That's
so
true.
I figure that goes
okay,
on your head.
That's true. That's true. You're right.
At some point, they might end up in her bag.
Yeah. She's pretty good though. She wears them most of the day.
Mm-hmm. Just when we're on attractions is when they come off.
I'm really glad you mentioned the horse-drawn carriages because that's probably my go-to. Mm-hmm. I just think there's something to be said about how good the horses are at navigating such a busy street consistently. Like that is a talent to those horses to mm-hmm. be able to deal with all of us humans.
Mm-hmm. And the sound. I love this, the clopping. Yep. That's a much better clopping sound than this.
It's so much atmosphere for what mm-hmm. you want Main yeah. Street to be, right?
I also like that they have their name tag like hung
yes,
from inside
yes,
of the carriage.
But the horses have their own cast member name tags.
I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Such a fun touch.
Chad, I think, was the last horse that we took.
Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah.
Those cast members are super kind and super, super nice, too.
Well,
I mean, all cast members are very kind and very nice. But yeah, they're very fun. If you ever get the chance, sit in the front and chat with them, and they will tell you all sorts of things about the horses. Because not only are they working in Disneyland, you know, taking the horses up and down Main Street, but they also are with them in the stables and doing kind of like the back side of things. So they do all sorts of jobs. So they're like cleaning the stalls and they're also, you know, maybe doing horse-drawn carriage things for special events and weddings and stuff like that. So they kind of do it all. So very cool to talk with them.
I also remember, oh God, this was a long time ago at this point, but I remember a cast member who was working that attraction. And I remember somebody was commenting on, you know, animal cruelty or something. And the guy was like, don't let him fool you. I could pull this thing down the street. So yeah. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you sitting in the front reminds me of how excited you were, Tag, when we did that for the monorail. Because you really wanted to be in that front car. And I don't remember if that was because it was
anymore, I don't think.
Air conditioned or if you just wanted the experience of being with the driver.
I want to see where the monorail is going and to be near the driver and to talk him up. But the air conditioning was also nice.
Florida perks, right? Anyway, moving on. Totally different mindset. Not only is it Pi Day, like producer Vern mentioned during trivia, this week's also St. Patrick's Day.
It is.
It's another holiday at the park. And that made me think about holiday overlays. Do you like them? Do you think another attraction should have a holiday overlay? Do we need to celebrate a different holiday with one?
I never experienced this myself, but I think bringing back the Jingle Cruise would be a very fun holiday overlay. I like holiday overlays personally. I think that's what makes Disneyland so special and unique is the fact that they do have the holiday overlays there.
I think holiday overlays like It's a Small World Holiday and Haunted Mansion Holiday mm-hmm. are like the cream of the crop holiday overlays. I always felt that the Jingle Cruise, while fun and charming, was not the same, like, on the same level as It's a Small World.
I think that makes
sense, though. Haunted Mansion. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I can't think of another attraction that just springs to mind of, oh, that would be a perfect thing to retheme during some holiday. The one thing that I dislike about the holiday overlays is I like both versions of these attractions. Yeah. And especially with like Haunted Mansion Holiday, that it seems like, what, a third of the year, it's this other version. So it's kind of challenging. I also don't count, Ruben brought it up in our chat. I also don't really count it is an overlay, but I feel like Hyperspace Mountain does add a little bit, but I still don't feel, I feel like the amount of work that goes into the other, into the two is a lot.
Yeah, you can't compare the two in the amount of, you know, in that sense of, you know, how much energy and effort it takes to switch it out, especially, I mean, because the Haunted Mansion's almost like a whole different attraction.
You know what? They could holiday theme pretty easily. They could holiday theme Toy Story Midway Mania, because they can make all of the games themed to different holidays. Right. They could do that for every holiday. Like Halloween is coming up.
You're very right.
Yeah.
I think I really want to do, I really want the Jingle Cruise to come back, because I think it not being like super in-depth, like Haunted Mansion, like It's a Small World Holiday, like makes perfect sense. Perfect sense for the Haunted Mansion. Maybe you could do, I don't know how you would do something, but
Jungle Cruise, you mean?
What did I say?
Haunted Mansion.
Oh yeah. So Jungle Cruise. I want the Jingle Cruise back. I don't know why, but like, wouldn't it be fun if they could do something different with like the Tiki Room? I don't know how you would be able to do that,
I want to say
have a different version of the show for different holidays.
I want to say, I could be totally wrong, I'm probably just making this up, but I thought that they had like a Christmas version of the Country Bear Jamboree.
They did.
So,
they had like Vacation Hoedown.
But you could do something like that for the Tiki Room. They could sing like Christmas songs or something.
Maybe.
Or, I don't know. Oh gosh, you could make the Tiki Room like a Halloween theme where it's all like their eyes all glow red all scary. Where
they look like evil birds. Yeah. No. No. Oh, that sounds bad. It would be fun if they could. I'm not sure how you would do this, but maybe for Halloween in Fantasyland, if the villains of those stories somehow took over those attractions. Mm. Again, how you would do that, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think that'd be cool to have like a villains version. Really, let's just be honest. We just need a villains theme, like a villains land in the park. If not its own villains park, because the villains are so fun.
I think it'd be really popular.
They don't get a lot of love. Oh, the people love the villains.
Yeah.
You're always half expecting Tag to be instantly, I want Sam Eagle to narrate some sort of Independence Day attraction.
I do love Sam Eagle.
You know, he could take over Soarin', and we could just have a montage of patriotic scenes of fireworks and flags. Okay. And
they just
America.
need to keep Soarin' over California. It has had crazy long lines since it came back, which should prove to everybody that it is the superior version of that attraction.
I like your idea. Excuse me, of having
both.
So you go to this theater for World, this theater for California.
Oh, that is cool. You know it can work though, Tag. When you start singing that Canada song from Epcot and Disney
Canada,
World,
Canada, oh Canada.
You just got to get something that iconic and it could work.
James and I laughed for like the next like 2 hours after we went on the Circle Vision Canada experience. It was just that good.
That was like a 6 month joke for us at least.
It was. I think they've changed it though. I think they updated it. I could be wrong.
All right, Tag, your beautiful singing has inspired this next question. Lord. So if you had to do Disney karaoke, what's your song of choice?
Poor Unfortunate Souls.
I was going to say, is it any like a Disney attraction thing or any Disney song? Oh, boy.
Wide open.
Oh, no. So many possibilities.
Poor Unfortunate Souls. In fact, I think I know most of the lyrics to that just off the top of my head, even right now.
I was going to ask you for a preview, and you already did it for us, so thank you.
Disney karaoke is my, like, secret weapon. Also, I would kill at Disney karaoke. I know too many Disney songs.
I'm also very good at the soundtrack to, like, Lion King.
Ah, Svenja.
Gonna be a mighty king.
There you go.
So enemies
you
can... beware. Be prepared. Yes, our teeth.
I'm gonna say
ambitions
you're welcome from Moana.
Oh, that's a James would love that one.
That would be such
that's
a
such
crowd
a
pleaser.
Fun song. Such a fun song. I'm gonna go with you're welcome.
See, I landed on Frozen 2 for where I would try to pick something from because I feel like Frozen 2 was consistently good music.
It did. Yeah.
Can you sing?
Standouts. No, no. I
Lost in the Woods.
That's what I was going to say is I was going to pick because people would just be able to ham it up.
I will never forget when I first saw Frozen 2 and like, I don't know, a quarter of the way into Lost in the Woods, I was like, what is happening? And then I realized, oh, it's just like spoofing supposed to be hammy and cheesy. I get it now. Like, I thought it was serious in the beginning. I'm like, what are they doing?
I know that I'm just a Grinch, but that is my least favorite part of that whole movie.
It's because it's just over the top and ridiculous. It's like, it's good because it's not, like, because sure. It's not. Also, Jonathan Groff. Love him. Love his voice. Beautiful singing voice.
Like, I get the cheesiness of it. I just, it's, it wasn't for me. I'm sorry. Yes. It is catchy, though.
My honorary mention for karaoke song, and this is mostly an honorary mention because there's no way I could pull it off, would be the Beauty and the Beast song.
Which one?
Tale as Old as Time.
Tale as Old as Time.
I just...
True as it can be.
It's not that lively karaoke song.
I don't know
song.
When this became
barely
karaoke, but
friends,
he just keeps going.
And somebody bends.
Just keeps going.
Unexpectedly.
Oh, I'm man. Just proud of him.
Certain as the sun rising in the east, tale as old as time,
I'm
song
impressed.
As old as rhyme.
You know all these words.
Beauty and the Beast. Off to the cupboard with you now, Chip. It's past your bedtime.
So while we're talking,
you should keep on this. I could go all night.
Yeah. Yeah. So while we're talking Beauty and the Beast, I was doing a little reading this week, and I found out there were two people that inspired the look of Belle. Do you know who they drew inspiration from?
Ooh,
no idea.
I feel I've read this because there's several Disney characters that they drew inspiration from, like actual people. But I don't know that one. Off yep. the top of my head.
So it's Julie Andrews and Judy Garland.
Oh.
So I was like, I just found that interesting. So if
sorry,
you were,
Mark, I don't know the lyrics to that one.
I can go the distance.
Well, James, I should know the one song. I've only
on
seen
my way.
I've only
I
seen
can go the distance.
Hercules like once. But maybe twice.
Oh, you love the Muses.
What was the ladies' song?
The Muses. Oh, those are good songs.
Yeah, the Muses ones.
Yeah. Meg's? That's the Hercules song.
No chance to
Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know from Hercules.
You Hercules.
Speaking of Julie Andrew and Judy Garland inspiring Belle, if they were to look to a real person today to inspire a Disney princess, who would you like to see that be?
Oh my goodness!
Let's see how well you know your celebrities.
Oh, Zendaya!
I knew that was coming.
I love Zendaya. Although I'm concerned because our exchange student has been watching Euphoria, and that is a very tough show. I haven't seen like a whole episode or anything, but as I like walked by while he was watching, it's very, I feel like you need to be in a certain headspace to watch that. It seems very dark, and there's a lot of dark things in that show. But Zendaya's in it. In fact, I think he said that Zendaya... I don't remember if she had to go to therapy or she told the director or something that she needed like a break or something because it was just so intense.
See, this is why we're so long because we're getting on these weird tangents. We talked about Star Trek earlier.
That's what our whole
now
show
Euphoria.
Is like. But we like to do this.
We don't leave that stuff in the podcast because it's
what
not
are you...
Disney specific.
Zendaya is super relatable too, especially if she's anything like her character in the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like just kind of down to earth.
I will say, you know what I realized this week? Speaking of Spider-Man, I did not realize, and I feel very dumb, but I did not make the connection that Zendaya was there when Tom Holland did his lip sync battle. I didn't realize that she was the one who did it against.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I knew it, but I didn't connect it because then they were dating and all this stuff.
So, I don't know who I'd choose. I'm all for original, so it's hard for me to choose a person for them to do it. I'm gonna skip. I'm gonna go on the. I think Zendaya is a good answer, and I really don't know that many celebrities to say.
I don't know her name, but the girl from Black Panther that's the tech girl. She'd be good too.
Shuri. I love Shuri.
She's awesome.
I love her personality too. In that, she's so like. I don't know. She's so like quick-witted.
Is there a male actor that you would want to see as a villain?
I can't think of anybody. Huh?
James, did you have an answer for this?
I didn't.
Okay.
So, actually Zendaya was the first one that came to mind for me when I
do want to say that when James and I play Heads Up, he always describes the wrong actors to me. He's like, "It's the one with Sean Connery," and I'm like, that's not Sean. I don't know. Sean Connery's a bad example. Who do you always confuse?
Matthew McConaughey and the guy from Baywatch.
David Hasselhoff. Don't hassle the Hoff, man.
All right, back on topic.
On topic. All right.
9:20.
All right, it's time to start starving you two a little bit. We're talking food.
Oh, no.
I know this is going to be probably the hardest question to get all night, even harder than those trivia questions. You could only eat at one location in the parks for the rest of your visits, no exceptions, where are you eating at?
Is there a place that like rotates its menu enough or something for this? No.
Not that I can think of.
This is tough because right now I really like the grilled cheese and tomato soup at Jolly Holiday.
So you're picking Jolly Holiday?
Well, I want to pick a place that has more options than that.
Yeah, that makes it tough because it rules things out like Award Wieners or Bengal Barbecue.
Maybe I have to say Pim Test Kitchen because they also have breakfast, and if that's the only place I can eat, and like, so I have to pick a place that also has that.
Ooh, that's smart.
I don't know. I really like Docking Bay 7 when they're, plus they have a cold brew
Docking
that
Bay
I really
7
like.
Is pretty good. And they have breakfast.
I like their
stuff,
food.
Don't
I don't know if they have breakfast or not. Yeah, they've got, I feel like they've got a good variety of food there. They've got a cold brew.
Oh, Rancho's a good option.
Rancho has a cold brew right now, too.
Kate, I was not that impressed with Carnation. Maybe I need to give it another chance.
Yeah, I'm going to be really different and maybe say Docking Bay 7. I was thinking the French Market because I do really like the French Market.
Oh, that's a good one.
And they've got like salads. There's a good variety there, too. But I don't think they have any. But they don't have coffee. There's no coffee there, and if that's the only place I can go,
yeah,
well,
you'd be in trouble. You'd be in trouble.
Place you can eat. You can still go buy a coffee somewhere else.
Sure.
Mark said a churro car.
It's between Docking Bay 7 and the French Market, I think, for me. And you're picking Jolly Holiday?
Well, actually, I like that sandwich, but then I just thought about the fried chicken, and I also like pasta, so perhaps Plaza Inn is the better option because you can also get a little bit of variety, and they have good cakes and stuff there too.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Yeah, I'm definitely
French Market has cake too. Ooh, I picked a good one.
Okay, I'll pick Plaza Inn probably.
I'm definitely drawn to Rancho's. I feel like I can eat a lot of good variety pretty
easy.
Well,
you love Mexican food.
I do. Smoke Jumpers came to mind as well, but I feel like that would get really heavy really quick.
Really?
Well, Smoke Jumpers, I feel like, doesn't have a huge...
I'm not a big fan of Smoke Jumpers.
Yeah.
I do like the stuff that the seasonal stuff that they've been rotating through there has been more
seasonal
interesting.
Stuff. Options.
There you go.
That's what I'm thinking.
Options. Mm. Options are always good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Finally, since we're closing it down, we're closing down the park. You get to watch the fireworks one more time. Where's your favorite place to stand or sit to watch them?
Oh, my goodness. My new favorite place is Small World.
My favorite place, but it's almost impossible to ever get to, really, is I like sitting or standing, but probably sitting, at the train station up on the platform. They have some limited stuff there because you're not down in the crowd. Mm-hmm. The only downside is I want to say that it's a little bit lighter up there because I think they keep part of the thing turned on.
Yeah.
But I like up there because you're kind of above everybody, so you don't have anybody's like phone or anything in front of you. And you get to see the castle and like Main Street. You can't see the castle very well because it's small and it's far away.
My really like one of the coolest experiences I had was during, we like totally lucked into this, but last minute it was during Halloween time, so it was Halloween screams. We walked up and there was nobody, nobody in front of the castle.
Oh.
So we sat like just like off the drawbridge kind of like
area. Wow. Like and as close as you can get.
Yep. Basically as close as you can get. It was not packed because for some reason they must have like had it blocked off and opened it up just as we were getting there. People were all sitting, so it was like small world where you kind of sat and had space. So it was really, really cool to watch the show that close to the castle. I feel like that was right place, right time, dumb luck kind of a situation, but it was really cool. But a normal, like a normal day, my new favorite place is Small World, just because I find it more enjoyable because you can, it's not, you're not packed in like sardines.
Sure.
You can stand, you can sit, you can do whatever you want. You're not, you don't have phones right in front of you because everybody's actually really nicely spaced out by Small World too.
I had a really great time when we went the last time, and we also were at the end of Main Street. So we were front of the ropes, and we could enjoy Mickey's Mixed Magic without people in front of us. So we had the option to sit or stand. There wasn't the walkway in front of us, so people couldn't stand in front of us.
Yep.
And if we wanted to turn and see any of the projections, it was really easy for us to just kind of turn around.
Was that when we were like in front of what used to be the Photoshop?
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely made it harder to take in the full show, but it's always hard to take in projections and the fireworks at the same time anyway.
I want to say there's one place that I've heard great reviews about, but I have not done myself, and that's Galaxy's Edge. Yep. It's supposed to be amazing back there to watch the fireworks. I just had this sinking realization that made my heart sink that we won't see fireworks when we're there.
No.
Because it's just projections Monday through Thursday. Yeah. So we won't see fireworks on this trip.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. That's a shame. And then I was thinking, oh God, how much would it would solve all of our problems if we could just upgrade our 3-day ticket to Park Hopper, because then we could go back and forth. It would fix a lot of our problems, especially for me wanting food. I mean, technically, I can park hop after one. So,
I will tell you there is some pie over in Disney California Adventure. My not so exhaustive search of trying to find pie in the park. You just have to go to the berry patch for a blueberry.
Yes,
pie.
That
oh,
one
for
of
the food and wine.
Yeah, they have there's that blueberry pie thing looks.
Oh,
really
that's
good.
On my list.
And can I just tell you before we wrap up? It was so weird to look at the app and see Toontown just not there.
I know that they've been erased from the map. Currently,
I was like, is my app outdated?
It's
did
kind
it
of like
break
when Bugsland just disappeared? I was like,
was your app outdated? I'm like, they didn't even have an app in the early 90s before Toontown was there.
That's
James,
true. That's very true.
I know, but what can I say?
Well, that was a fun set of questions
that went all over the place. We had singing, no dancing. I hate to break it to you, we just sat in our chairs the whole time. But
to break dance it to you,
Tegan Teresa, you were excellent guests on the show. I can't wait to have you back sometime.
Make sure that you listen to DL Weekly. It comes out every Wednesdays. Search DL Weekly in your podcast player or go to dlweekly.net.
When we come back, we find out truly how expensive it is to buy 5 classics at the Disneyland Resort, and amongst other things, as producer Vern joins us for our next segment.
Looks like we're coming in for a landing, gang. But please stay listening until trivia comes to a stop, and then yous can walk to the nearest exit. Thanks for listening to the 8th Wonder of the World, DL Weekly.
Welcome back to Trivia Land. How you feeling? Do you feel pretty confident? You feeling good? You happy with your answers?
No.
No?
But we'll see.
You excited to find out nonetheless?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's get right to it. Your first question of today, submitted by producer James. What attraction is described in the Disney Parks app as join a rescue mission to a high-up fortress? You guessed? Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout? And the answer that I was looking for was Guardians of the Galaxy Woo! Mission Breakout!
Woo! Good job, us.
Good job. You're the one that thought of it first.
High up, that was the whole thing.
Your second question, submitted by listener Chris Y. What instruments do the pirates play in the town pillaging scene? You answered, a guitar and an accordion. And the answer I was looking for was guitar and accordion.
Yeah!
And when you started to say flute earlier, flute is in an earlier scene when they are dunking Carlo, but there is not a flute in this specific scene with the pillaging of the town.
That's right, because you come around that corner and the first thing you hear, like even on the soundtrack, is the...
flute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Your third regular round question, again from producer James. This week included Pie Day. If I were in the park today, where could I find a pie? You guessed Jolly Holiday and Carnation Cafe. The correct answer that I was looking for was Carnation Cafe.
Good job, Teresa. And I think Kate said Carnation Cafe was her guest, too. So good job, Kate.
Well done, Kate. And your fourth and final regular round question.
And here's where it all goes down.
From listener Audrey C. Place these five classic Disney treats in order from most expensive to least expensive. The corn dog, the Mickey-shaped ice cream bar, also known as the premium bar, the Dole Whip, the turkey leg, and the churro, specifically the plain one. You went with the order of the turkey leg, the corn dog, the Mickey premium bar, the Dole Whip, and the churro. I gave you a half point each because the correct order that I was looking for was the turkey leg, the corn dog, then the churro, Dole Whip, and the premium bar.
Wow.
Oh, so we got those last three like in reverse order.
Pretty much.
Whew. But we were right with the turkey leg and corn dog.
Maybe the Mickey bar is not as expensive as
well,
I thought it was.
You know, our bonus question, we'll find out.
We're going to find out, yeah.
Your bonus question, again from Audrey C. Within $1, what is the combined total price, pre-tax, of all five classic snacks if you bought them today in the park? The turkey leg, $11.99.
Good job, Teresa.
Good job.
That's a point for you.
Corn dog comes with chips or a cutie, $9.79.
That's a point for me.
The Dole Whip, $5.99.
We both got that one.
A plain churro, $5.
Both got that one.
And the Mickey premium bar, $4.99.
Yeah, we're wrong with that.
For an added up total of $37.76.
You were 76 cents off.
So close.
Nope, nobody.
I was close. 41.50,
36, 39, 43, and 40.50. Nobody was within the dollar, but everybody was very close.
But Teresa was closest.
Teresa
was closest, but she would have been turned away for being shortchanged if she was at the cart trying to buy them.
That's true. I would have had to sacrifice one of the
treats. They would have given me money back.
They would have.
Everybody else would have gotten change back, except Teresa would have been turned away without one of her snacks.
We did. We both got 3 points on that one.
That was really good. I'm impressed.
That's great. Thank you, guys, for the great questions, everybody. This week, I didn't feel so terrible.
Well, listeners, how do you feel about how they did tonight? Do you think that you've got some great questions that are going to really give it to them next week? If you think you've got that perfect question, feel free to send that in to us at trivia@dlweekly.net.
One thing I would like to say is if people have more like the ranking thing, that's kind of a cool trivia thing. Yeah. So if there was like a...
It was not easy. That's for sure.
Yeah. So I liked the ranking and the total. That was really, really creative. So cool.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.